welcome back to What's Going On with Earl Ingram. We have another powerful and really interesting guest scheduled for you this morning. His name is Jeff Kruwer. And Jeff is a popular political analyst, columnist, and radio and television personality. Since January of 1999, he has been the host of Ringside Politics, an award-winning radio program in New Orleans, dedicated to examining the top issues of the day on local, state, and international levels. The radio show airs weekdays from 7 to 9 and 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time on WGSO 990 AM, WGSO.com, and the Mixer Radio app. You know, there's so much here that it, for the sake of time, I'm not going to be able to go through, you know, this elongated introduction. But we just want to say good morning to you, my friend, and thank you for accepting the invitation.
All right, Earl, great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
All right, so we're going to have a conversation about, you know, America's next front in the narco war, Mexico. And I have to ask you, sir, you have said some really powerful things as far as maybe what you think we should be doing in Mexico. Clearly, drugs have been an ongoing issue in the United States, and Mexico has been right at the center of it for as long as I can remember. And so, you know, certainly it's caused some consternation throughout many presidents, and many Americans have certainly been in the throes of addiction and were able to get their fixes, if you will, from Mexico. But your thoughts about the next front in the narco war and pointing out Mexico?
You know, we've had this war on drugs since the 70s. And really, we see under President Trump sort of a new emphasis on it. We've seen the border secured, certainly to a greater degree than we've seen before. We've seen the attacks on these narco boats that have been carrying drugs. I think 35 of them have been destroyed. I don't even know what the current number is because there's so many that are being taken out. Then, of course, we saw Maduro extracted, and he's got these federal charges against him, and that was a big supplier of cocaine. But when you look at the numbers, Earl, we have about, you know, roughly 100,000 Americans per year who die of drug overdoses, about 70% caused by fentanyl overdose. And the focus of fentanyl introduction into the U.S. comes from Mexico. The precursor chemicals are sent from China. It's produced in Mexico under the direction of these drug cartels. And they are extremely destructive. And we've seen the toll on American lives for decades now. So with the president now ramping up the war on drugs, I know he's considering Mexico, and my column that I wrote that I think you're referring to encouraged him to do so, because as big of a deal as Venezuela is, a bigger deal is Mexico. And when you talk about Mexico, you got to talk about the Mexican drug cartels, which wield so much power.
So the Mexico drug cartels have been going on for as long as I can remember. As a young person, I remember heroin and the poppy fields coming from Afghanistan. And so the heroin addictions and problems of the 50s and the 60s. And what part of this is, for heaven's sakes, the American people? Now, I don't think any of us don't have family members who haven't been touched by addiction. But Americans use more drugs than anybody else. We only make up 4% of the global population. What part of it is that we need to address Americans' thirst for drugs? If there wasn't a thirst for drugs in this nation, right, this wouldn't be happening.
Well, it's supply and it's demand. And you're right. I mean, we've been trying to caution Americans against drugs. I mean, remember Nancy Reagan?
Just say no.
Just say no. I mean, we've been trying.
That didn't work.
How many ads have we seen on TV about the dangers of drugs? I mean, constant public service announcements, preachers, politicians, leaders talking about the dangers of drugs. Yet, there is a problem with certainly demand in this country, but there's also a supply problem. And, you know, we've had it, you know, flooding into our country through Venezuela, through Colombia, which is a problem, and of course, Mexico. And I think it's both sides of the equation. I agree with you. There's a terrible problem in this country with people needing drugs to cope, people getting addicted, people in desperate situations turning to drugs because they can't find work, they can't find happiness. It's just a very sad situation because we know drugs are never the answer, and it leads to more and more problems for people that are addicted. And sadly, it leads to death, too. Over 100,000 deaths per year through drug overdose. So I think you're right. It's a multifaceted problem. But I want to address Mexico in the column because I think for years we really have not effectively taken action against these drug cartels. And we keep hearing, oh, they're powerful, they're violent, they have weapons. Well, nobody can take on the U.S. military. And I don't care if you're a Mexican drug cartel or not. The military has superior firepower and we could take them out if we wanted to.
So let me say this to you, sir. I think when we talk about America's military might and its military power, clearly our military is number one in the world. I have issues with that, considering we only make up 4% of the global population, but our military is more powerful than almost all the rest of the major militaries combined. I do have a problem with the fact that we continue to spend that kind of money while people in this country struggle. And we can talk about what's going on in Mexico and the cartel, but our nation has no right to invade another nation. And whatever's going on in Mexico, that should be handled by Mexicans. Because once we go down this slippery slope, which is what we've started to do, you know, when does it end? Other nations invading other nations for whatever reason is not the way things have been, and especially in our nation. And certainly we expect other nations not to invade other nations. How is it possible that we think it's okay that we use our military to cross the border into Mexico and do anything?
Well, because Mexico is harboring organizations that are powerful and violent and have resources, these drugs that are killing Americans. I mean, tens of thousands of Americans are being killed because of these Mexican drug cartels. So this is a threat to the American people. And if we don't use our military to safeguard the American people, then what do we have it for? This is our neighbor. I mean, this is a country that's not just a normal country. I mean, we're the greatest country on earth. The Monroe Doctrine was established back in 1823 to protect this hemisphere and that the United States would do so. And this has been renewed under President Trump. They call it the Donroe Doctrine now. Instead of the United States focusing on Europe, where we spent so much money and resources over decades, I'd rather us focus on our neighborhood. And nothing's closer than our next door neighbor. And they haven't been very good neighbors to us. They haven't done anything to control the illegal immigration into our country. And they haven't done anything to control their drug cartels and the drugs flowing into the country. So I think it's a legitimate conversation to have. The president says he's thinking about it. And he says that the president of Mexico won't do anything about it because she's afraid of the drug cartels.
Well, you know, sir, I remember in the 1970s, the late 1970s, early 1980s, our relationship with Mexico was so solid that we moved our industry. into Mexico. There was an issue with drugs at that time as well. But we saw fit to take American jobs across the border, companies, American companies, and set up shop in Mexico. And so it's not like we're talking about somebody who is an arch enemy, because we have American corporations that are working outside of Mexico. There has been an alliance. There has been a business relationship and partnership with Mexico since the 1980s. So when we're talking about now going in and invading that country and doing and going after drug cartels, what about the business partnership that America has had with Mexico for generations now?
Well, I would say that that has not worked out too well for the American people.
It didn't work out well for us, but you know, the business community is there.
I would say that's benefited some wealthy business owners and Mexicans, but it hasn't benefited the American people. I mean, we shipped untold number of jobs and factories and manufacturing down to Mexico, hadn't benefited us at all. And what I'm trying to say is, we need to put our country first. We need to get those manufacturing facilities back to the U.S. We need those jobs here. We got to stop being the doormat of the world and helping out all these other countries and not focusing on the American people. And that's what I'm in. And I agree with you. We can't be everywhere. We can't be doing everything in all these countries all over the world. Our number one priority needs to be the American people. And we've shipped jobs. We've shipped manufacturing to Mexico and other countries for decades. That's got to end.
You know, you bring them back. You know, Jeff, I will say to you that, you know, that is the one area where both Democrats and Republicans agreed on taking manufacturing jobs out of this nation. It was bipartisan. And so, you know, I only bring that up because when we talk about now invading Mexico, even though the president there says, no, we don't want you to come and do that. And even though if you look at it from the Charter of the United Nations and others, to invade other nations is not acceptable. And so, yes, there have been times that we've done it. OK, no question whatsoever, but that doesn't make it right. And so whatever the issues are, the fact that they have been flooding our nation with illegal drugs, I'll tell you, I've had questions about it for a long time. Our intelligence sources can detect a flea. It's halfway around the world. Why can't they detect people bringing drugs across the border?
Well, I think a lot of the problem has been rectified. I think we have a much smaller influx than we had before. I mean, I do think the numbers show that since Trump took office, the amount of people that are coming across the border illegally carrying drugs has been severely limited. But it's still happening. I mean, for every boat that they strike, there's still other boats to get through. So, I mean, I'm sure we have capabilities that we don't know about, but I think we're still not able to stop it completely. So I just think the big source of a lot of it is the drug cartels. And I'm not talking, Earl, about boots on the ground. I'm not talking about an invasion. I'm talking about using strikes like we did in Iran to take out their nuclear facilities, to take out the drug facilities of these drug cartels. I'm talking about limited, effective, focused use of our military on people that are killing Americans. These folks are more of a threat to Americans than the Iranians. They're more of a threat to Americans than Maduro. They're number one in my book because they're killing more Americans than the Iranians, than the Al-Qaeda, than any other terrorist group, the Mexican drug cartel.
So let me ask you, you use the verbiage in the term they're killing Americans. As you know, I'm an American and have been one for my entire life, 71 years. Americans do a good job of killing themselves. We smoke cigarettes, we drink alcohol, we engage in things that are not good for us. To make the statement that Mexicans and the Mexican, you know, these people are killing Americans, I have to push back on that, because the Americans who choose and have gotten addicted to fentanyl and those kinds of things. Look, China is the number one producer of fentanyl. What are we going to do with China? If the plan is to eradicate those drugs from coming into our nation and then going to other nations that produce it, we already know. Poppies in Afghanistan. They're now, once since we left Afghanistan, they've started with the poppy fields have come back. So heroin is on its way back. Fentanyl is a substitute for heroin. It's cheaper. We know the number one manufacturer is China. So are they next after Mexico?
Well, I mean, I certainly think we have tools that we can use, and the president has talked about, with the Chinese, it would be economic tools. It would be tariffs. It would be.
So why not use those same things with Mexico? Are they easier pickings?
Well, I mean, for one, it's right next door. Two, I mean, I think we're not talking about China's got facilities halfway around the world. I think it would certainly be easier to take out the drug cartels. It would be to take out the Chinese military. The drug cartels are really, that would be doing a favor to the Mexican government and the Mexican people, because I don't think the average Mexican likes the fact that the drug cartels run the country. And anytime you have a politician down in Mexico who stands up to the drug cartels, that politician winds up dead, as I'm sure you've seen over the years. We know the president won't take action. President Trump calls her afraid of the drug cartels. So I would say, yeah, it's China providing the precursor chemicals. We take on China by instituting massive tariffs on them. Say, hey, if you keep flooding Mexico with these precursor chemicals, we're going to keep ratcheting up the tariffs. I'd rather people buy American anyway than buy Chinese products. I'd rather pay more to buy an American product than pay less to buy a cheap product from China. We're going back to the manufacturing and the employees and the workforce of making American products. Certainly more beneficial to our economy than importing goods from China.
So I have to say to you, it's only been in the last year that policy of this nation has changed as it relates to, you know, invading nations and that aren't doing what's in the best interest of their people is what I'm hearing. And so we pick and choose selectively what nations we are going to do this to. There are all sorts of nations that are not treating their people properly or right. So if now we are the world policemen, and we are going to pick and choose what nations we are going to send our military in, why should one person be the person who determines that?
Well, I mean, the president of the United States is the commander in chief of our military, was elected by the American people to have that position, which is the most powerful military in the world, as you talked about. I mean, yeah, we're only 4% of the world's population, but we do have the largest and most powerful military. And through the years, the United States has come to the rescue of other nations, has gotten involved militarily all over the world. We look at our history, we look at the past century. We've gotten involved in two world wars, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, so many others. And the record is mixed. The record is mixed. We had victories and we had defeats. I'm saying that I don't want us in every country. I don't want us being global policemen. I definitely don't want us to be involved in nation building. I don't want us to have troops on the ground. That's the mistake we've made for decades. Vietnam, 11 years, 58,000 dead, 20 years. We just left, Earl, you may have noticed, we just left Iraq the other day. First time in 20 years that we don't have U.S. troops in Iraq.
Afghanistan a few years before that. that, but go ahead.
I celebrate that. I don't want us to have troops in Afghanistan and Iraq or any other country for 20 years, for 20 days. I think we need to focus on this country and our problems and all the different things that you talked about earlier. The man on the street that's homeless and a vet dying and needs help. So, yes, we have a strong military. It needs to be used, I think, very judiciously, very cautiously, selectively. And we use that to protect American lives. And I do think a direct threat to Americans are these drug cartels. And I think you would have to agree, we haven't really done much to the drug cartels over the years.
Well, you know, the drug cartels and what they've been able to do clearly is an issue. But I think you can't, the desire for Americans to escape the realities of their lives far exceed drug cartels. There are issues going on in our nation, the imbalance that goes on in our nation, in the wealthiest nation on earth, where there are Americans who struggle to keep roofs over their head and food in their babies' stomachs. And as a handful of people continue to get wealthy beyond imagination, is an internal problem, an internal rot in this nation that needs to be addressed. We can't just say, well, it's about what's going on in those other nations. Fix what's going on inside of our own nation. You say America first. First, let's address the issues that impact and affect the American people before we start talking about all these other escapades, i.e. Venezuela, you know, Mexico next, you know, and some overtures that I've heard, you know, who's going to be next. I think when you look at historically, because you and I have been around a long time, these issues that we're talking about with other nations have persisted, and yet all other presidents, Democrats and Republicans alike, for the most part, have steered clear. Because the amount of money that it costs to get involved in these kinds of escapades, where we know, even though we do regime change, once we replace somebody, we took Maduro out, we don't know how this is going to end. We have no idea. There's a great possibility it might be even worse. Same thing if we're talking about Mexico. I mean, this is more than a notion to invade sovereign nations and destabilize them.
I don't have a disagreement with you there. I mean, I'm not calling for regime change. I don't think regime change works out well, whether it's Iran in 1953 or Iran today. I don't think we should be changing regimes. Guatemala, I mean, we have a long history of doing that. And you're right. It doesn't work out well.
Well, we're doing it right now in Venezuela.
For the United States. I don't know what's going to happen in Venezuela. I know the president met with the peace activist, Maria.
We know we changed the regime.
Right.
That's what we did.
Maduro is behind bars. It's very similar to what happened in 1989 when we took out Noriega. Remember,
That didn't work very well, but go ahead.
And we got rid of Noriega, and he went in prison and basically spent the rest of his life in prison. He was involved in drug trafficking for the U.S. And the indictment from the Southern District of New York was that Maduro was doing the same thing. So we took him out, rightly or wrongly. But I don't think we have troops on the ground in Venezuela trying to change.
Not yet.
That regime.
Not
and I
yet.
Would caution, and I would caution against that. I don't want that. We've done that, been there, done that.
You know,
it doesn't work out well.
You know, my friend, you mentioned Noriega. How well did that work? Drugs didn't stop coming into this nation, and drug use didn't abate once Noriega was took out. You know, we know where cocaine comes from. We know who's producing it, and we know that there are people inside of our borders, for heaven's sakes. drug dealers inside of our nation are pushing the drugs to the American people. We can sit here and talk about the cartels, but the cartels don't physically bring it in and then break it down and sell it to the American citizens. There are Americans who are doing that. And there's a part of this that we haven't addressed. And so we can talk about Mexico and all those things, but those who are peddling this inside of our nation, what about them?
I've got no sympathy for them.
I'm not asking about sympathy. What about them? Why aren't we going after them as well?
We should be.
Why aren't we?
We should be prosecuting. I mean, some jurisdictions are, but some jurisdictions are not. So I'm here in New Orleans. We have a drug problem here. I mean, we have DAs here in this area that are not being tough enough with drug dealers. So I'd like to see more vigorous prosecution against the dealers. I've got sympathy for the poor people that are totally in chaos, totally in destitution, that are homeless, that are on the streets, turning to drugs. I mean, those people are in serious pain, okay? And they need help. They need a solution. And our area and most areas around the country pump a lot of money into homelessness, and they don't seem to fix the problem at all. Look at what's going on in California. Billions of dollars to deal with homelessness, and it hasn't. A lot of rich people have gotten richer, but the homeless aren't helped at all. So I want to help people that are struggling, that are turning to drugs. The dealers I have no sympathy for, and the people that obviously are providing it to the dealers, the cartels, I have no sympathy for them. So we've got a multi, and I agree with you, we've got a multifaceted problem that needs addressing at every level. It can't be just one part of it. It's got to be all of it.
You know,
I would like to see progress in reducing the number of drug overdose deaths. And I think we have the possibility of doing that with the right strategy.
You know, I would say to you that people I think in this country would be more, you know, palatable to some of these things that are being said if, in fact, we were serious about addressing the things that in this nation that, you know, kind of create the environment where people are doing these drugs. But we aren't addressing those things. And so let me ask you then, sir, how do you project, or what do you think would be the process for us to go into Mexico, eradicate, you know, drug cartels? What does that process look like? The military crossing into Mexico, armed American citizens, I mean military, you know, when you go into, you know, war, there are lives that are going to be lost. So you say it's acceptable for American lives to be servicemen to be put at stake in Mexico fighting the drug cartel? You think that's a good exchange?
I'm not talking about an invasion. I'm not talking about ground troops. I'm talking about a similar situation to what we had in Iran and in Venezuela, where we're talking about air power. We're talking about special forces. We're talking about limited number of personnel.
Special forces are troops, sir, but go ahead.
I'm not talking about ground troops. I'm not talking about an invasion. I'm just trying to clarify. I don't want to invade. I don't want to occupy. I don't want to overthrow the government. They've got a government down there that is not serving their people because their government is run by the cartels. And that's our neighbor. So that's a big concern to the U.S. We've got cartels or the criminal organizations running a country that is our neighbor, that is providing a poison that is killing our Americans. So what they're doing is a direct consequence to the American people. And I say even more consequence than the Iranians or the Venezuelans or anybody. So I'm talking about using our capabilities to identify what where these facilities are that these drug cartels operate and take them out. And it's air power, limited use of U.S. military. It's not an invasion. It's not an occupation. It's not a regime change.
So you say they're not serving their people. Are you aware that there are Americans right now who say that our government is not serving us? Many Americans. And so does that open the door for somebody else then to come in and say, well, you Americans aren't serving your people? I think we need to come in and do something to address it.
Well, I mean, I certainly think that would be an unwise move if another country tried to do that.
Might makes right? Is that what I'm hearing from you?
I don't think that another country will do that or should do that, because I don't think we have drug cartels in this country that are doing what the Mexican drug cartels are doing.
Oh, we have drug cartels in this country. Make no, you know, Miami forever was, and people know it. And have known it, that the reason Miami was built and how Miami got built in the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s to be what it was drug cartels.
Well, I mean, I saw Miami Vice. I've been down to Miami. I know what you're talking about. So, yeah, I understand that. But what I'm saying is that these drug cartels, I think, are focusing on getting out a product that is detrimental and dangerous and killing Americans. So I do think it is a worthy exercise for us to protect the American people and to try to eliminate that threat. There would still be drugs coming in, but it'd be less. There'd be still people dying of drug overdoses, but it'd be less. Mexico could then go about trying to run their own country instead of having the drug cartels run their country. So I think it would be doing a service to the United States and to Mexico by taking out. Don't you think the average Mexican would like to see that happen, Earl?
Yeah, I think that where we might be missing the boat on it is, let's be realistic, the drug money helps prop up the economy of Mexico. Let's stop, you know, kidding ourselves. It is a part of, you know, what keeps them afloat, illegal drug money. So I don't, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm supporting what they're doing. I don't support it one bit, but I'm a realist. Right. And I know that when you look at a nation as poor as Mexico's, it's, you know, GDP is not centered around corporations and is not set up in the manner that ours is.
You know what? You know what is another thing that props up their economy is the money that is sent back to the Mexican country through illegal immigrants and legal immigrants that are here that send money back home to family members. So we're propping up Mexico in a lot of ways. And one of the ways is through the money that's sent back to their country from people, the Mexicans that are in our country working illegally.
Well, you know, that's a horse of another color, because, you know, we've known forever that there were illegal immigrants in this country working illegally, and our nation has known it because people have benefited from it. Right. And so that's another one of those things that just makes my head want to explode. Businesses and corporations knew that there were illegal immigrants working for them. Right. It was all right. As long and as we speak right now, that same thing is taking place. So I guess I find it hard to look at what happens inside of our nation. And I have to point some of the fingers at our nation itself. You know, sure. we can point at the other nations, you know, and say they're the evil ones in this, but hey, our country does some things that aren't exactly right.
I agree with you there.
So I want to say this as we get ready to wrap this up, and I really enjoyed our conversation. So what would be next? Okay, so Peru, Bolivia, you know, where cocaine comes from. We know it. Cocaine is still one of the most popular drugs in the world, even though they forced it. I was reading something the other day where the price of cocaine has bottomed out.
Right.
And so it's a lot easier and a lot cheaper than it ever was, which means, guess what? You cut off the fentanyl, people are going to go to cocaine. People are going to take and use whatever it is they can to escape.
Right.
Right. And then even if you cut those things off, it'll be liquor. People are looking to escape. And so I don't know if you can ever end those things.
Through military might. I don't think we can end it. I think the challenge is to limit it. The challenge is to try to give people economic opportunity here in this country so that they can feel valued and employed and productive. And if people are working, if people are productive, I think you're going to have fewer turn to drugs than when they're not. So they're certainly not going to eliminate all of it. But the better the economy is, the better we can provide jobs for the American people. I think the less the problem is, the more there's destitution, the more there's economic chaos. I think the more people are in a position where they have nothing to lose and they turn to drugs. I do say this, that Colombia has changed their view, and after the Maduro operation have been talking very cooperatively with the United States. So the president mentioned he's going to be meeting with the Colombian president, which is a 180 from what was going on prior to Maduro. So maybe this will have a positive impact on our relationship with Colombia to try to deal with the problem coming from Colombia. So it's a long-term deal. It's a long, multi-step process. It is not easy, but I do appreciate the fact that I do think this administration is at least focusing on the issue, which I think is beneficial to the American people.
Well, you know, Mr. Crewear, I want to say thank you very much for taking time out and having a dialogue with us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you.
Really, really appreciate it. Keep up the good work, and maybe we'll cross paths along the way.
Let's do it again.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. That's a wrap.